Invite you to rise for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, and everyone in the crowd was trying to touch him, for power came out of him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from the one true God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning and always. Amen. God works in mysterious ways. You've all heard this expression, right? God works in mysterious ways. Another way to put it could be God acts in surprising ways. Or better still, God surprises us. All throughout the Bible, God responds to the state of the world, the lives of God's people, and the future that awaits them in ways that honestly barely make sense half the time. When God's people have been in bondage for generations in a land far away from home, God recognizes that they are in need of saving. So what does God do? God surprises us. God chooses not a superhero, not a strong man, not even a righteous man. God chooses a man on the run from the law, a man who takes every possible opportunity to get out of the job. God chooses Moses, an imperfect messenger, to be the one to save Israel. God surprises us. Long before Moses tried his best to weasel his way out of God's calling, God came to Abraham and Sarah, an old, old couple, far beyond their childbearing years, and promised them descendants as numerous as the stars. A preposterous promise. So ridiculous, in fact, that what did they do? How did they respond? Does anybody know? They laughed. They laughed in God's face. Sarah laughed. So what does God do? God surprises us. Sarah, years after she derisively laughed in God's face, bears a son. And Abraham names him Isaac. Does anybody know what Isaac means? It means he who laughs. He names him Isaac so that, as she says in our reading from Genesis today, God has brought laughter for me, and everyone who hears will laugh with me. There are those who'd rather see this translated as rejoice instead of laughter. I'm not so sure that they are such different things. Another example, though we aren't reading about him this morning, Saul of Tarsus, a Pharisee, a great pursuer and persecutor of Jesus' early followers, a devout man, a religious man, a violent man who sought to uphold the rules in the best way he knew. Surely our God would punish such a villain. Surely our God would give us triumph over our own oppressor. But what does God do? You know by now, God surprises us. Let me hear you say that. God surprises us. Saul of Tarsus, the great persecutor of Christians, becomes the Apostle Paul. The very same Paul whose story and writings to the early church form the very backbone of our theology, our understanding of the grace-filled ways that God works in the world. All of our readings this morning and so many, many more speak of the ways in which God surprises us. The unexpected ways God responds to our hardships, our circumstances, even our expectations. God surprises us by doing what God does, not what we think God should do, not what we would have God do, not what we would do. No, God does what God does. God surprises us. What does he do? God surprises us. And this is why Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Plain in Luke's Gospel that we read today, or the Sermon on the Mount as it's described in the Gospel of Matthew, these words continue to cause confusion amongst some of Jesus' most ardent and strident supporters. This collection of moral teachings which seek to move Jesus' followers to understand themselves, their relationships, their world, and their God in a different way than they are used to thinking, still disrupts us, surprises us. Somehow, though we know these words well, we often encounter them as though they were something other than moral teachings. We think of them often as a nice sentiment, maybe. A collection of hopeful sayings. A forecast of events to come. Not actual instructions. Not actual real things that will happen or are happening. Not something that should have real meaning for us right here and now. Russell Moore, a former leader in the Southern Baptist Convention, published a book last year entitled Losing Our Religion, An Altar Call for Evangelical America, a critique of the evangelical church's response to the rise of Christian nationalism and its willingness to relinquish its morals for political gain, and an earnest plea for it to return to the teachings Jesus. In an interview about this book, Russell Moore said that his belief that American Christianity is in crisis today came from, he says, having multiple pastors tell me the same story about quoting the Sermon on the Mount parenthetically in their preaching, only to have someone come up after and to say, "Where did you get those liberal talking points?" And what was alarming to me, he says, is that in most of these scenarios, When the pastor would say, I'm literally quoting Jesus Christ, the response would not be, oh, I apologize. The response would be, yes, but that doesn't work anymore. That's weak. And when we get to the point, Moore observes, where the teachings of Jesus himself are seen as subversive to us, then we are in crisis. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. God surprises us in these words from Jesus. For surely this is not how our world works. We know, after all, don't we, that to be blessed means to have what we need. Maybe even more than what we need. To be blessed means that we are doing well, maybe even a little bit better than well. To be blessed means we are living our best lives. More often than not, we see the blessings of others, and we have some big feelings. Feelings like maybe a little envy, maybe a little jealousy. When do we look at those who have less or don't have and feel those same big feelings? Blessings from God don't look the same way that our blessings usually look. And so when God in Christ Jesus points to those we figure are without blessing and marks them as the blessed ones, how might we respond? If we understand one another the way God understands us, how can we call God's teaching weak? How can we laugh at the sheer ridiculousness of God's work in this world? Or better yet, how can we not laugh with joy at God's work in our lives and the lives of others? How can we not respond with laughter at God's blessing upon us and upon those we encounter? God surprises us. So how might we surprise the world? How might we respond to those who are in need, those who are in grief, those who are without? How might we encounter them not as those who have less or who are less than we, but as those who are blessed? What joy might they bring into our lives simply by being God's beloved children too? God surprises us, and God calls us to be a surprise of joy to the world. Let us receive God's surprises with joy. And let us go out into the world to surprise it with ours. Amen. Let us sing together our hymn of the day, found in your hymnals at page number 664. Heaven is singing for joy.
Mine will.